Chapter 17, Jubilee at Hope Chapel. The following extracts are from the Christian's Monthly News of April 1st, 1867, describing events which took place at Hope Chapel, Rockdale, in connection with services held at the Jubilee of Mr. Kershaw's pastorate. On Wednesday evening, March 6th, a most interesting event was celebrated at Hope Chapel, in the presence of a large assembly of persons who met together to do honor to Mr. John Kershaw of the Baptist Chapel, Hope Street, in commemoration of this being the 50th year since he entered upon his labors as pastor of the above church and congregation. Many of his friends thought it a very proper and fitting time to acknowledge publicly the value they set upon his labors amongst them for a half a century, and also to assure him that although he was far advanced in years, being in his 75th year, he was still near and dear to them. The arrangements have been carried out by a committee of 20 gentlemen, to whom great credit is due for the manner in which they were perfected. More than 600 persons took tea in the schoolroom in two parties, about 500 and 100, the library or upper part of the room being appropriated to friends from a distance. As soon as the first party had taken tea, they adjourned to the chapel, and a prayer meeting was held. This was continued until 6:15, and at 6:30 the proper meeting of the evening commenced. The chapel was soon crowded in every part, there being at least 800 persons present. After singing and prayer, the chair was taken by Mr. Tatham, who had at his right hand Mr. Kershaw, at his left Mr. Hastings. After addresses given by several friends, a presentation was made to Mr. and Mrs. Kershaw by Mr. Hastings. The testimonial included contributions even from across the broad Atlantic, and was not confined to dissenters merely, but there were churchmen, magistrates, and almost every variety of professors in Rockdale who had expressed their respect for Mr. Kershaw on account of his consistent conduct. The gross sum he had to present to Mr. Kershaw, including Mrs. Kershaw's present, amounted to the sum of £362 together with a gold watch and chain, the watch bearing the following inscription: presented to John Kershaw as a token of respect by his friends on his completion of the 50th year as minister at Hope Chapel, Rockdale, 6th March, 1867. The chairman called upon Mr. Benjamin Tweedale, one of the deacons, to present the address. Mr. Tweedale said, "I have very great pleasure in presenting our dear minister with this address from the church and congregation. I consider myself highly honored in being selected to perform this part of this evening's proceedings. I do so with great satisfaction because the sentiments and principles which it embodies speak my whole heart and soul, and I know it contains those glorious truths which Mr. Kershaw has been preaching and teaching here for the last half century, and upon which we build our hopes for the salvation of our immortal souls." The address was as follows: "To Mr. John Kershaw, Minister of the Church of Christ at Hope Chapel, Rockdale. Dearly beloved Pastor, grace, mercy, and peace be with you, and the whole Israel of God. In presenting this address to you, together with a gold watch and chain, and a purse of gold, we hope our object is not to flatter you, but to manifest to yourself and also to the world our united esteem for you as a man, and as an honored servant of the Most High God, who has stood so long on the walls of Zion, showing lost sinners the way of salvation, through the love, blood, and righteousness of Christ, the eternal Son of God, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification according to covenant arrangements between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, in which all the persons interested were set apart to be quickened in time by the Blessed Spirit, who raises to life their dead souls and separates them from the world, because they are not of the world, and at his appointed time he takes them all home to be forever with the Lord. These and other like truths you have been proclaiming here and elsewhere for 53 years, and as pastor amongst us for 50 years, and we pray that you may be yet long spared to preach them in our hearing, and that when the Lord calls you home, you may be favored like good old Simeon to say, "Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Amen. Signed, Benjamin Tweedale, William Jackson, Abraham Thompson, Deacons, Rockdale, March 6, 1867. An address was also presented to Mrs. Kershaw in the following terms. To Mrs. Kershaw, our dearly beloved sister in the Lord, and the beloved wife of our esteemed pastor, Mr. John Kershaw, Hope Chapel, Rockdale. In the kind providence of God, we are favored this evening with the privilege of meeting together to present you with this address and a gold watch and chain as a token of our regard for you as a helpmeet to your dear husband and as a servant of the Church of God at Hope Chapel. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God for his great goodness in putting his fear and grace into your heart, qualifying you for the honorable and very important position you now hold, and which by the grace of God you have been hitherto enabled to fill to the great comfort of your dear husband and to the satisfaction of the church and congregation with which you are connected. We especially value your labors in the Sabbath school and also in the affairs of the church and the living God, a church of the living God, in feeding the hungry and giving drink to the thirsty, clothing the naked and visiting the sick, in speaking a word of comfort to the afflicted and tried of the Lord's people, and in pointing them to the Lamb of God, the sin-atoning Lamb. May the dear Lord continue his goodness toward you, and lift upon you the light of his countenance, and enable you to say, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." Signed, Benjamin Tweedle, William Jackson, Abraham Thompson, Deacons, Rockdale, March 6, 1867. Mr. Kershaw, in acknowledgement of his testimonial, said, "Mr. Chairman and dear and respected friends, as I lay in my bed last night for a very long time sleepless, thinking upon the evening we are now passing through, a portion of God's word was brought sweetly, powerfully, and blessedly to my mind. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness." "Ah," I said, "dear Lord, for 50 years of labor amongst thy dear people here, which has to be commemorated this evening, it being in the morning when I was thinking of these things, and 60 years, dear Lord, this year since it graciously pleased thee to make me the happy partaker of thy Holy Spirit, and I have proved to a demonstration in my own experience and conduct to be true, the grace of God which bringeth salvation and teacheth us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." A passage has sounded in my ears, especially in the prospect of this meeting. My friend Mr. Lewis stated it, "By the grace of God I am what I am, and when I think of the manifold mercies bestowed upon a poor polluted worm by my blessed Lord and Master, and the favor which he has given me in the hearts of so many of his people, both at home and abroad, the words that I spoke upon last Lord's Day morning come again and again, and he renders them very sweet, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake." I had very sweet meditations on my bed, in looking back at the way the Lord my God has led me since I came to live at this place. And had I the opportunity, I fully intended to go through them, which would have taken me, should I have been very cursory, an hour or an hour and a half. But my friends, we are happily so circumstanced, having had so many friends to address you, that I will not now enter upon the chain of things that I had sweetly and solemnly upon my mind. And as some of our friends are going away by the train and must be at the station by train time, I can make no further enlargement only on that which immediately falls upon me. That God, before whom I speak, knows I lie not when I say I cannot find language sufficiently strong to thank, to bless, and to praise my dear Lord and Master for his great goodness towards his unworthy servant, both providentially and spiritually all the way through, and for the comfortable circumstances in providence that he has placed me in for more than 20 years, so that I stood in no immediate need of the gold you have presented me on this occasion. Oh no, not that I regard it the less, but rather the more. But my thankfulness is to the Lord for his bountiful providence towards me day by day, and more especially for making my very poor, imperfect labors in any measure a blessing to the household of faith, both at home and abroad. I never thought that old John Kershaw would have such a gold watch and chain as that. I did not want it, but the Lord has put it into the hearts of my friends to give it me, and I heartily thank them for it. I thank my kind friends for beginning this work, and for beginning it in the dark, and keeping it underground from me as long as they could. I heard very little about it, and I did not wish to hear, and when people wanted to tell me, I said, "Say nothing to me." Now, my friends, I shall keep it gratefully, and when poor old John Kershaw's gone, it shall be kept in the family of my son John, and when the Lord shall take him, it shall be for my grandson Jonathan, and I sincerely hope it will be kept as an heirloom in the family of the poor unworthy minister of Hope Chapel for many generations to come. And they will have a token in this watch that he was not a pest to civil society, and that his labors were honored, and that he labored with success for so many years. Now my wife and I are sometimes a little at variance, and we were rather a bit a crook today. Whenever I speak concerning my wife in public, it is always by way of commendation. And if a man has a good wife, he should speak well of her. But she doesn't want to be spoken of publicly, and today she said, "See, you don't say anything about me. If you do, I shall be angry." But I think when we get home at the fireside tonight, she won't be very cross. When she has got a good gold watch and chain, and sees her husband at the other side of the fire with the like useful present, I think there will not be very much crossness. In further speaking of his wife, he observed that it had been a very great blessing to himself, to the church of God here, to the sick and the afflicted, and to the young friends connected with the church and school, that God sent her to Rockdale. He also gave the testimony of the poor people in the district, whom she visited and relieved, as to her great worth. Sometimes when I go to visit the sick, they tell me that I am in such a hurry, they would rather Mrs. Kershaw come to visit them than I, because she stays a little longer. They tell me that I am the vicar and she is the curate, and the curates always have the hardest work. Now I must conclude. The Lord be praised for his manifold mercies towards us both. Mrs. Kershaw adds, at the close of the Jubilee meeting, as we were conversing on the events of the day, my dear husband remarked, "It has been a great day. The next great day will be my burial day, and truly there seems to have been but a step between them."